I wanted to discuss a very interesting topic, which I think is very nogeya de maisa to these some people. I would say probably to most people. Now, it's not a particular topic. It's a very general topic. Now, we had Edel, and we had Rosh Hashanah, and we had Yom Kippur, and basically, we were talking the whole time about doing tshuva. Right. So, now we're coming a little bit later. So there's two choices. There's one choice is that a person, you know, it worked great. He did tshuva, and he's still going, And then there's the other choice that he thought he was doing tshuva, and then about a day or two after Yom Kippur, he was back to where he started in the first place. You know, that is definitely does happen sometime. You know, so the question is, assuming that has happened, how do you relate to that? Right? In other words, assuming a person really tried very hard in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Edo to tackle a problem that he has. It's a serious problem, whatever it is. Each person has his problem. Usually each person has some problem, and he really worked hard, and he thought basically he worked as hard as he can, and lo and behold, he got almost nowhere. there were people that will tell you that Motzoi Yom Kippur, they're already being nichshu in the same averis that they were, so kavana. Now I'm gonna stop in the tshuva, and then comes home Motzoi Yom Kippur, and already an hour or two later, and he's doing it again, right? So how do you relate to that? Hopefully there are some times that's not the case, but assuming in a situation where that is the case. So there are two answers. There's the simple answer, and there's a tifa answer. Sometimes the tifa answer is much more applicable than the simple answer. But the simple answer is what? What's the simple answer? Oh, you missed the problem. Ay, 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 ay. I'll say for you that the question was, a guy goes ahead and worked really, really put in the effort to do, he had a certain problem and decided this year he's going to tackle it. He has a certain, let's say even a serious avera he's doing. He's being mizana with Eishes Ish, whatever it is. He has some serious problem and he decides this year he's going to really tackle it. And he works really, really hard, and he never got himself so worked up. And on Yom Kippur, he was flying high, and he was davening with Kavan and everything else. And then the next day, he's back being mizana with the Eishes Ish again. So now what's he supposed to do? He sees when he worked really, really hard, it don't go. Nope. So what's the answer?
Do it again. Keep trying.
So there's two answers. The simple answer is, if you don't succeed, try again. That's a simple answer. It's very hard to get yourself excited about that but that's the simple answer. Why is that? What's the logic of that? The logic of that is that if you go, we gave this mashal many times. I think the Sefer Cheshbon Nefesh basically says this. I'm not sure if he gives this mashal, but he basically says this concept that when the Romans wanted to get into a city, and the city had a wall around it, and they couldn't break in, so they take this giant battering ram, and they get these 20 soldiers or 50 soldiers, 100 soldiers, and they all go running full steam into this stone wall. And what happens? Usually, nothing, right? And then they commander, they go back and he says, okay, let's do it again. And the guy looks at him and says, are you crazy? it's not an enjoyable thing to go running full steam into a wall. And then, it's just not expected. Plus, while you're doing that, they're pouring boiling hot oil on your head and shooting arrows at you. Like, why in the world would you do it again? But the pshat is, because even though it looks to you like you didn't get anywhere, internally in the wall is starting to crack. It just doesn't show itself on the surface. So if you keep on doing it again and again and again, eventually it's going to crack. So that's what the Cheshbon Nefesh says. There is an honest answer. That even if you flunked and you got absolute, it looks to you like you got absolutely nowhere. Mamish, Motzoi, Yom Kippur, you were right back to where you were. Just doing that Aveira, full steam ahead. But he says that doesn't mean that it's looser. And if you try it again and again and again, you'll break through. Okay. What?
You don't have Yom Kippur a week after.
Okay, but you got to keep on trying. So or you'll try every Yom Kippur. You keep on trying every year,
Well, now, it doesn't solidify ever?
No, I don't know. Okay, you're right. You got to keep on trying. Don't wait till Yom Kippur. That is what he says, and we believe it to be true, except the drawback of that is that it's very hard to motivate yourself because things that you don't see are very hard. Unless you're a really big Baal Pitochen, I don't see that. As far as I see, I got absolutely nowhere. I'm so frustrated. I worked so hard, and I got nowhere. See, no, you really got somewhere. It's going. Okay. It's a hard system. There's a second answer, which is a much more beautiful answer. What do you do if you're attacking a city? You're an army, right? You're attacking a city. They have a fortress around them, and it's impenetrable. And you keep on attacking, and you keep on going with your battery ram, and every time they pour boiling oil on your head, and you get nowhere except, dizzy. So what do you do? What do you do? Anyone's suggestion?
You get new men.
What?
Go to the other side of the city.
Okay, so one idea is to go to the other side of the city. Maybe they left the back door open. That's true. That is a very good answer. Sometimes people don't realize that there's more than one way to skin a cat. And sometimes you can go through the back door. Okay, but let's say you tried that, and there's no back door.
This is the second answer, right, Robbie?
Right. So now what do you do?
Sneaking.
The answer is very simple. You just skip it. You go on to the next city. All right? Got it? You got a city. It's in your way. There's a fortress. You can't break through. Okay. So you don't break through. You capture all the other cities. So you need this one. Why is that advantage good? First of all, at least you captured the other cities. You're getting hung up on this one city. So you didn't capture this city. But at least you got all the other ones, right? Plus, the truth is, if you capture all the cities in the area, eventually you'll capture this city too. Because they won't be able to get any supplies, and they won't be able, you captured everywhere else. You don't have to attack this city. You can skip it and just wait it out, so to speak, and the city will collapse by itself. What does that mean in Musar? I got to explain this because it doesn't sound right, but it's a Tifa thing. A little bit it's in this week's Parsha or next week's Parsha. I'm not sure. It's both. I happen to like different personalities in the Torah. One of my favorite people is Lot. The reason why Lot's one of my favorite people is because the Torah is full of super tzaddikim who, it's hard to relate to. Like Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, And then we got these super rishayim, But there aren't that many in the Torah seemingly like just people that are like me. But Lot seems to qualify a little bit. Right? Lot, on one hand, we have different, without going into a long speech about Lot, because it's not a shmooz. We have in this week's parsha, Lot's going with Avram Avinu. Right? What happens? He sees Sdom, and he decides to, what's the word, jump the camp, whatever, what's the expression?
Jump ship.
And he leaves Avram, and he goes to Sdom. That is, you have to fathom what that means. You're with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is Kedusha. Avram Avinu is Malachim. Avram Avinu is the most greatest Kaddish yeshiva in the world, better than Lakewood and better than, you know, right? And Sdom is, you know, the people walking around. I won't say they're walking around naked. That's too little. They're walking around more than naked, right? They're just super preachers. The Sdom is the ultimate preachers, Tuma, Taiva, Ilam Aza, you can go. The extreme between Sdom and Avram is like, there probably never was such an extreme in the world. Right? I don't know which city we'll call Sdom, but there are probably a number of cities today that can be called Sdom, but I don't think they made it yet. So the guy goes ahead and he leaves Lakewood to go work to work in a zona hall in St. Louis, in Las Vegas. You just went, you can't. So Chazal themselves say that when Lot did that, Lot said, "Efshi lo ba Avram velo belokav." Rashi brings it that when Lot did that, he basically it was like a statement. He didn't say it, but it was actions speak louder than words. That I had enough of this religion. I can't take it. In other words, till then he was a tzaddik. He was with Avram perfect, but at some point his tithes were too much and he jumped ship. Okay. Then we have in Vayera that the Malachim come to Sdom. And Sdom is Moser, Lot is Moser Nefesh for his guests. And it says here, there's a pasuk, it says, Vayaslehem Mishta, u'matzos ofa vayochedu. Rashi says, why matzos ofa? Avram served them lechem. Why is he serving them matzah? So what does Rashi say? Come on, someone know Rashi? It was Pesach. So what? It was Pesach. Torah wasn't given yet. Right? Lot is the super tzaddik. You know, what are you eating matzahs before Pesach? Like, you know, buddy, there's no eating matzahs before the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? Lot is somehow or another keeping the mitzvahs before they were given. That's way, way up there. It says the Ovis kept the mitzvahs before they gave. I don't know about anyone else that did that. You know, that's way up there. That's like a super, super high madrega. So I look at Lot, I say, Lot, you're living in Sdom. I don't know what you're doing. You're surrounded by Zionists and Prutzes and X-rated this and that and every cold over usher, and you keep eating matzah on Pesach. Anyway, even though there's no mitzvah, because it's the chumrah with the chazon ishashir, you know. You know what? We are crazy. Right? The Terence says, I can tell you, the biggest hypocrite in the world has ever seen. Right? The answer is, it's a tremendous aside, that's a human being. A human being, Lot jumped ship because he had a tremendous taiva for whatever Sdom was offering. And he decided, and he couldn't, you know, Avram, by being by Avram, didn't satisfy that taiva. He was tempted by the taiva, and he went for it. But he had no taiva not to eat matzah. So the Gabe Matzah, he's a tzaddik, you say item on the highest madrega. He's still with Gabe Matzah, he's still with Avram Avinu. The Gabe Znus, he's in Sdom. And there's no stira. It is a stira, but it's not a stira. It's a tremendous stira in behavior, but it makes logical sense. And that's how people are. People are steers. People are walking steers. And there's nothing unusual. So a person, let's say in my example, the guy had, we picked an extreme example, the guy has he got into a bad habit of going to the discotheques and being mizana, okay? Not a good thing to do. But there's no reason why he can't learn about Smadar Rabbah. One thing has nothing to do with the other. He doesn't have a taiva not to learn. So if he comes to his Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I got this problem. You know, I'm doing this and this Avera. So the Rebbe says, well, I think you should stop. That's what I think your Rebbe would say. So he says, I tried and I can't. So I know the first thing your Rebbe would say, there's no such thing as you can't, right? I remember heard that from my Rebbe many, many times. There's no such thing as you can't. If you really tried hard enough, you could. And the other, but I tried so hard and I'm telling you I can't. He said, no, there's no such thing. You're just fooling yourself. You really could. If you really, really tried and you keep at it, you could. Which is true. We do believe that. But the other answer is, you say, but how's Shir going? How's the learning going? Well, why don't you work a little harder in Shir? Because that, you are doing well. So work a little harder. Do a little better. You know, guys complain. I've heard this complaint that sometimes in Musar Vadim we talk about highfalutin things, and here they have these issues with X, Y, and Z, and I'm talking about doing a mitzvah b'shleimus. It makes perfect sense because that's how you solve the problem. Because sometimes if it's a very, very hard nisayin, so I don't say you give up. You can't give up. You got to keep on trying. But one of the ways of trying is by being better. It's the ultimate going through the back door. Your back door is a back door in the city. It's a different back door. It's by doing everything else right or other things right, you memeda because everything is interconnected. So it's a very healthy thing that a person should do what he can do well, forgetting about the fact that there are some things that he does poorly. It's a major yisayid. People go ahead, and many people, they say if they're no good in one area, so they don't want to be a hypocrite or a phony or a faker, so then they let other areas go. That's not logical. You're not good in one area because you have a big Yetzirah. Okay. We can understand that. Everyone has their Yetzirah. I have a Yetzirah for chocolate. He has a Yetzirah for ice cream. I like ice cream too. But okay. And the different people have different Yetzirahs. And it is possible that your Yetzirah I don't have and I never had. But that doesn't mean that a person, and I mean every person that way, every person should be able to understand the other person because everybody has his Yetzirah, which he finds extremely difficult to overcome. So just because he has a different Yetzirah than you do, right? His Yetzirah is, whatever. There's lots of good Yetziraras right out there. Right? So I never had that Yetzirah. I never was exposed to that taiva, you know. So, but I got a different Yetzirah, which when I have my taiva, there's some people that are that they have a tremendous Yetzirah for socializing. Now, another person who never socialized in his life, no Yetzirah, because most Yetzirahs you don't have if you never experimented with it. See the guy, what? You have a Yetzirah for socializing? What? Right? But you got a Yetzirah for going on to looking at preachers and the internet. Right? So you can go ahead and project, just like I have my Yetzirah, he has his Yetzirah. But obviously the real answer, you got to keep on trying. But there's another answer. Sometimes don't get frustrated. And by being successful in other areas, indirectly you become successful in that area. So it's a very important trick. You gotta look at what you're good in. You gotta figure out what you do well. You gotta figure out what you don't have a big Yetzirah in. And those areas, you got to build them up, b'shleimus. You got to go super, super mahadrin min a mahadrin. Because why not? Because you have no yetzahara for that area. I have a yetzahara, but if I don't have no yetzahara not to keep the sedarim, so why can't I learn till 2 o'clock in the morning? That's not, I have no yetzahara for that. So when it comes to the learning, I'll be the biggest master in the yeshiva, the biggest this, and because when I am the biggest bum, not bum, that's not the right word, I'm the biggest mezan in the yeshiva, okay? So you're the biggest in everything. You know? You're godless, you know. Anyway, you know, you have but, and then indirectly, we believe there's a hashba, you know. Of course, it could work the other way too. I don't deny you have to be, it could work, the negative can beat out the positive. But very often, if you have enough of the positive beats out the negatives, right? That is, those people, I don't think you people are around, but that's how the Israel won the war in 73, right? 73. That's how they won the war. They did not attack the Egyptians, they just surrounded them. Okay. Anyway.
What? In a sign that's not isolated, where it's something that actually affects, like, everything.
But very often it is isolated. It's not everything. That's just because you're in your, I don't want to say depressed because it's not true, but you get depressed because you're upset about the fact that you're nichshol. And people get very upset when they're nichshol in something. And since that's a sign of sincerity, and it's a good thing. So I have this nisayon and I'm nichshol. So it bothers me tremendously. So memeda, you automatically begin to feel that everything is bad, right? If my leg hurts, I can't walk. Life, everything is coming. I can't do anything. I can't. But in reality, it's not true. There are certain areas that are not related. They have nothing to do with this negative problem. You know, there's no reason why your davening can't be perfect. Davening is not necessarily related. Seder, not necessarily related. Yin, it might not necessarily related. Doing chesed. There's so many different areas in Yadut, right? You know, just those. There's no connection. I'm just between davening, learning, chesed. Those are three unrelated areas. And there's Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chesedim, right? So let's say you have a problem in one area, but the other area you don't have to have a problem. So do well in the other areas. Yeah, what? I'm sorry.
Don't we say that certain? I know it's fine. Not everything's related.
Everything is interrelated to some extent. But that's why I'm saying that fakirat, instead of going ahead and letting the Avera win, let the mitzvahs win. But you don't have a nisayin for this other mitzvah. In a mystical sense, they're all related. Because are you Kaddish or Torah? You know, okay, in Achmami. But you can use that mystical connection for your benefit too. So you find out where in this area I don't have a yetzahara. I said I have no yetzahara not to wear tzitzis. Right? This is the example that I gave this example. I think I gave it during Edo. There are kids in the high school that don't wear tzitzis. So something I asked the question: why don't they wear tzitzis? What could be an easier mitzvah than tzitzis? You plop it on in the morning. You completely forget about it, and you get about 10,000 mitzvahs a day. Why would a person not want to wear tzitzis? So, okay, so somebody, because they're wearing this tight shirt, it doesn't look nice, okay. But the one reason someone said is because I feel like a hypocrite. Here, I'm going ahead, and I'm doing this and this and this, and I should wear tzitzis. I'm not a Ben Torah. I'm not going to make believe I'm a Ben Torah. But that's not a good answer, because do you have a yetzahara not to wear tzitzis? You have a yetzahara to go on the internet. Okay, so the Gabi internet, you're not a Ben Torah. Fine, but let the Gabi tzitzis be a Ben Torah. You want to be a Ben Torah, don't you? If you didn't have a yetzahara, wouldn't you want to be a Ben Torah? Wouldn't you like doing what's right? Everyone wants to do what's right if they could. It's just that you have a yetzahara, you have a taiva. You so good, but for tzitzis, you don't have a taiva. So why not wear tzitzis? And Meda, because everything is interconnected. First of all, so two things happen. One is, okay, so you win some, you lose some. So you might be over the averes of the internet, but at least you're getting your 10,000 mitzvahs a day of tzitzis, which in itself is a great thing. And I would say not just to wear a symbol, wear a mahadran dika tzitzis. Make sure you have the right share of tzitzis. Make sure it's a, you know. And then the second thing is that there is a mystical hashpah. So there's a mystical hashpah, especially if you do enough. You don't just do tzitzis. You do this and you do that. And it's basically you isolate that problem, or that somehow the problem disappears to a certain extent by itself when it's isolated. So it's a very good solution, and explains part of what guys don't understand. And guys, someone say, well, you give a Musar van about how the tzitzis should be, make sure your tzitzis is yaitzi, all the shittas, I don't know, or make sure your tzitzis are kosher to chatzchila. Why worry about the chatzchilas when I'm doing agrabah averis? One thing has nothing to do with the other. It's a very, very important insight that you gotta figure out what you don't have a yetzahara, and what you don't have a yetzahara, you try and do b'shlemis. Not just you do it. Do it b'shlemis. Do it, If you have no yetzahara as far as seder, so stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning learning. I don't know. Whatever it is. That wasn't a good example. But whatever it is, you do what you're good in. Try and do what you're good in b'shlemis. And indirectly, that's the ultimate back door. Right? The simple back door is the same back door to that city. But the ultimate back door is you get all the other cities. Then the one avera can't exist in a vacuum. It just doesn't usually happen. And eventually it collapses. So you end up gaining two ways. You gain because even if the other avera, if you don't succeed in that avera, at least you succeed in everything else. And two, it's very likely that eventually, maybe it takes a little longer because it's a very indirect route. It's a very indirect route, so it takes much more time. But eventually, you solve that problem too. It's almost people who say that they have an unsolvable problem is not true. There is, we don't believe. It's either, I'm saying, either because you can keep on banging away at it, it'll be solved. Or if you solve everything else, which you could, because that's not so difficult, usually, eventually, maybe it takes longer, you have to have patience, that it solves this problem too. There are many yeshivas like this in Eretz Yisrael, no? Some of the yeshivas that deal with guys who are, a little bit off the derech. So they let the guys do, they don't have certain rules, and they let the guys do some pretty interesting things that we would not allow them to do in here. But the svara is that by doing what they do right, it'll be measured. That's the logic. There's these guys are, they might have smoking marijuana in the dorm and who knows what else. But, in 3 years from now, the guy's going to be in the mirror. And that happens, right? These guys, because they give them things that they don't have a yetzahara for. They give them things that they can handle. They give them a learning and davening, which very often many people don't have such yetzahara. Each person is different. And, that's not their, most of the high, kids at risk, that's not where their issues are. Their issues are with mostly different taivas issues. They allow them to keep doing their taivas. And eventually, just because they're doing, they almost forget about those issues, right? And they focus on other things which people can do, and that's how they succeed. Well, when the kids were in high school, the high schools were fighting them on those issues, and they were labeled, and they didn't work. But here they don't fight them. They say, okay, you want to do those out there, go right ahead. and just do this instead also. And it does work.
Is this the same concept as focusing on what you're doing already?
It's not just fun doing it. Doing what you're doing better. It's realizing that human beings are by nature hypocrites. There's nothing wrong with being a hypocrite. I once heard from, I think it was from Rav Moshe Chait, that he said that if you see a guy who's been in yeshiva for 3-4 years, and he's learning well, and he's involved, and he this, and then all of a sudden he drops out, and he leaves, and he goes to college. He says, it's usually always for the same reason. He says, obviously, if the guy was just there for a year, okay, he wasn't really committed. The guy was there for a few years. That means that he really wants us. So why is he dropping out? Now, I don't say every case. There are exceptions to the rule. So he says, usually it's because the guy has a certain problem, a nisayin, which he finds that he can't overcome. You know that we said that might not be true, but in his mind it's true. He tried, because it's almost true. It's a very, very difficult nisayin. And he tried very hard and didn't get it anywhere. And then he feels like a hypocrite, phony. Here I'm sitting in yeshiva, and my father tells me how proud he is of me, and my grandma, and everyone started to call me rabbi, and this and that, and when are you going to get your smicha? And meanwhile, I know that I'm doing X, Y, and Z. And it drives him crazy that he's such a hypocrite. And therefore, his only solution is to drop out. And the answer is that's normal. That's nothing to be embarrassed of. That's how people are. People are inconsistent. That's not a hypocrite. That makes sense. You have loathed at a tremendous big Yetzer for this, and you have no Yetzer for this. And that's how people are. And there's no, you're not being a liar. You're not being a phony. You're not tricking people. You're not being dishonest. You're being who you are. And keep it up. And eventually, you'll get the other area too. And if not, so you'll at least get this area. But in other words, it's not something to feel that I'm a phony and a hypocrite. It's very dangerous. When guys feel I'm no good, I'm a faker, that's the worst thing. I tried, I'll never make it, I can't make it, I'll never make it. You gotta... sometimes you got to almost like forget about your problem and just do what you're doing good. Okay.